Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. I'll read through, you read through silently the first time. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's read together now, please. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for our pastor who faithfully preaches the word of God to us. Help us not to waste his time, our time, and your time today. Help us to hear what you have for us. Now we need you to anoint us, the listeners, with thy Holy Spirit power so we'll hear what you have for us today. And Father, we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit as he speaks what you want him to speak today to us. God, work in our hearts and lives. Help us to be better for being here today. And then, Father, if there's somebody here today that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior for eternal life, I pray they'd settle it before they leave today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, please check your cell phone and make sure that it is turned off or turned to vibrate at the very least so it does not go off during the service. What an interesting little verse here in the Bible. This Hebrews chapter 11 is what's called the Hebrews Hall of Faith. Talks about every verse just about begins with, by faith, these people did these things. Verse 21 says, by faith, Jacob. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped. The Bible said, worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. A man who's very dear to me is in heaven now. Made this for me some time ago. He's Brother Goad. He and his dear wife were part of our church the first 10 years. They retired, moved to Kentucky. He'd walk out in the woods in Kentucky and he'd find branches on trees and the particular vine would wrap itself around the branch while the vine grew and shaped it like this. He would take it, cut it off, take it home, dig the vine out, and then clean it up and finish it. It made these really unusual looking kind of walking sticks. When I think about Jacob's staff in the Bible, it says that he worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Jacob is 147 years old when he gets ready to go to heaven. That's a long time on this earth. Every step Jacob would take, he takes with a limp in his life. I'm going to depend on your knowledge of the Word of God this morning a bit so we don't chase the particular references, but you know Jacob's life and his story, you know why he limped. He has two names in the Bible, Jacob and Israel. Jacob's name, his name means subplanter. Literally, in our terms, it's con man. He was a conniver, this guy. Got the birthright from his brother for a bowl of soup. Stole the blessing from his brother by deceiving his father. Had to run away from home because his brother Esau wanted to kill him. Had to go out into the wilderness, and there in that wilderness, the Bible said Jacob, all alone by himself with nobody and nothing in his life, running from home. Had to make stones for pillows and laid his head down on those pillows at night. And then God appeared to that little con man out there in the desert. Jacob made some promises to God that if he'd bring him back blessed and alive to his family again, that he would give to God and do some things. Jacob then goes from home. 20 years he'll be gone from home. While 20 years away from home, he marries two sisters. On his way back to return home after 20 years, a prosperous man now, he comes to a place called Peniel. He's with his family and he's returning home, not sure how his brother is going to receive him, even though 20 years has passed. Now he's stolen his brother's birthright and blessing. It was not only the spiritual thing in the family, it was financial. And Jacob had taken all that away from Esau, and he wasn't sure if his brother was still mad at him. He's returning home, and he was thinking about it at night, and he went off to be by himself in this place Jacob would later call Peniel. He's a strong and healthy man, tending flocks, prosperous. He gets in a wrestling match with God. The Bible says the angel of the Lord. It's called a theophany. It's an Old Testament appearance of Christ. And Jacob and Jesus have an all-night wrestling match. Jacob must have been a strong man because they went all night wrestling. Somewhere about the crack of dawn, the Lord decides to put this man down, and he reaches inside and grabs him by the inner part of his leg and cripples Jacob. That's why he walks with a staff now. And every step, he's reminded of that time when he met with God. And the Lord said, "Let me go. The sun's coming up." And Jacob says, "No, I won't let you go until you bless me." Every time I read that in Genesis, it makes me think about times in my life when I said, "God, I just got to have you help me today." And the Lord said, "Nope." He said, "He said, what's your name?" He said, "My name is Jacob." He said, "No, your name's Israel. From con man to prince with God." That's what Israel means, prince with God. Quite a transformation. But from that day forward, and Jacob is in his early 30s or so, middle 30s, from that day for almost 100 years, he'll walk with this staff. And every step he'll be reminded of that place where God crippled him to turn him from a con man to a prince. Then we get to Hebrews 11 and verse 21. And the Bible said, Jacob, when he was getting ready to go to heaven, leaned on his staff and worshiped God. You know, the staff in those days, it was not just only a walking stick, but they used to put carvings of symbols and things in it to represent certain events in their life. Something would happen, and we call it whittling nowadays. They'd carve an initial or a symbol or something in there, remind them of that event. Jacob's staff must have looked like a mosaic of carving. He had a lot of events in his life. So he has a well-carved staff, a well-worn staff. And at 147 years of his life, Jacob, the Bible says, leans on that staff and worships. Every time I read that passage, I think to myself, I wonder what was going through his mind while he worshiped his God. You know, in a very real respect, we're all kind of like Jacob. You know that. We were something we shouldn't have been. And when we met God, we became something that we weren't. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jacob was a shepherd and he worked with sheep, so his staff was a shepherd's staff, no doubt. But they also used the walking sticks a lot in those days because of the roads. And if you're a man with a limp, he used his walking stick for support and help in his life. That staff had become part of Jacob's life. It was a testimony with all the things, no doubt, the symbols carved of the deception of his family and the Bethel place where he met God that first night on the pillow of stones, and that place where he went to Laban and he was deceived for 20 years of his life. You reap what you sow. Maybe he carved a little picture of wheat in there to remind himself, you cheated your brother, you got cheated by your future father-in-law. And it cost you 20 years of your life too. Maybe he carved in there that place of Peniel that reminded him where he met God, and he was crippled from that day forward. But he leans on the staff, the Bible says, and he worships. What does that mean when he talks about him leaning on the staff? I've been thinking about that all week this week. Every time I have this stick, I keep it in my office. It reminds me of what a good man Brother Goad was and how important he was to me in my life. As a young preacher, I was trying to impress people with what I knew about the Bible. You've probably noticed I quit trying that. And I used to teach and use a lot of Greek and Hebrew and things like that in my teaching because I thought I would impress people that I had taken 2 years of Greek and a year of Hebrew in Bible college. And I made a statement one day in our church, back in the very early days, as a matter of fact, back in the beginning. And I said, the King James Bible is not God's Word. It's only in the original autographs. It's what I had become to theologically understand. I was wrong, you know. And he went out the door, a man with about a seventh grade education, and he said, well, preacher, if that's not the Bible, then where is it? I had no cutesy pie theological answer for that. I thought, my goodness, I never thought about that. If we don't have the Bible in our hands, then where is God's Word? Because God said we would have it. He didn't argue with me. He wasn't trying to be unkind. He just sent a young preacher home thinking that day. Now I know and understand today, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, that when you hold a King James Bible in your hand, you hold God's Word for us today in the English language. That's why we just use a King James here. We're not impressed with modern versions. We're not going to chase those things. We're not going to use them. We just use this book right here. That man helped me with that day. I see this stick. It reminds me. You know, when Jacob leaned on his staff and worshiped, the Bible said, I believe it was a time of remembrance and a time of gratitude in his life. Jacob leaned on the staff and he remembered his past. He remembered what he was. The Bible still calls him Jacob in the book of Hebrews, but his name is Israel now, Prince with God. Have 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel, God's chosen people. That's a pretty good bridge for a young guy who was a con man who used to cheat people. Had no problem bending the truth to get what he wanted. And now this man is a hero of the faith. Jacob's leaning on his staff and he's remembering what his past was. He remembered what he was before he met God. He remembered what he was before God had to cripple him to make him what he was. Sometimes we don't understand the working of God, do we? We do think that if everything was good in our life and everything was right in our life and we got everything that we wanted and we never had a heartache or a sorrow and we never suffered a loss and we never lost a job and we never got sick and we never had a problem, that's when God's really blessing you. To Jacob, he leaned on the staff and his step reminded him he was crippled for the cause of God, but it was good for him because it made him a cheating, lying fool into a prince with God. And he worshiped. You know what worship means, don't you? He didn't gripe, he worshiped. He didn't complain, he worshiped. He didn't doubt, he worshiped. He didn't think God did him wrong, he worshiped. That means submission in his heart. He accepted the fact that for 100 years he would walk with a limp and have to lean on a staff, and he would walk with a limp, and every step would remind him that that's what it took God to do in his life to get him to that place where he could be usable and God could do something with him in his life, and he worshiped at that. He worshiped God. He said, you know what? God is right. God is right. If he hadn't crippled me, I wouldn't be the man I am today. If he hadn't touched my life, I wouldn't be the man I am today. Let me say to you this morning, my dear friends, you would not be who you were if God had not touched your life too. I don't believe in self-made people. Self-made people are very little people. They're very small people. They're very self-centered people. They're very selfish people. They're very consumed with what they want kind of people. There are a whole bunch of people in this world that are self-made men. I'd like to say this morning, by the grace of God, I'm a God-made man. And so are you, dear friend. You're God-made if God's touched your life. Well, I wish you wouldn't have. I wish you hadn't taken a loved one. I wish I hadn't lost my health. I wish I hadn't the battles that I had in my life. Those battles, those struggles, those valleys is what God has done in your life to make you what you are. Now, the key is this. You need to worship on that. That means acknowledge the worth of God and what he has done. He was a con man that God made a prince. God changed his life. Has he done that for you? Have you come to Christ in simple repentance of faith and accepted him as your Savior? See, I've never done that before, Pastor Johnson, but I'm trying to change my life. Quit trying to change your life. Come to God, he'll change you. He'll make you different. That if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Think, what I like about 2 Corinthians 5 and that statement is this. It says, if any man, that means anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place, is willing to come to God just like they are, God will take and change that person's life if they'll come to him through Christ. I don't think we ought to sit around and bemoan our past. You know, that kind of stuff, that Dr. Phil Oprah junk, where we sit around and just complain about the fact that, you know, we always say it here, but your mom put your diaper on too tight when you're little and your dad wasn't there for you in your life and you had all this. And we start talking about all this stuff in our life. And all we do is it's a bunch of whine session and moan sessions. I'm not making light of that, dear people. You got a testimony. I got a testimony. All God's people have a testimony this morning. But ladies and gentlemen, when you look back on your past, is that what you see? I remember living in a drunkard's home as a boy, but I don't think about it. I really don't. I don't sit at home and say, oh, I remember growing up as a kid being beat by a drunk stepfather and the horrible life that I had for a while when I was a child. No, I think back on my grandparents and their love for me and their care for me. And I think back on things. How do you see what God has done in your life? Do you see it the way you should? Then you worship. If you don't, then you complain. And then you have no staff to lean on. There's no help, there's no faith, there's no confidence. Because it says, by faith, Jacob worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. Well, he makes that step, and every step for 100 years, he'll make the step. And he'll remember his past. Oh, by the way, when he leans, worships on the top of that staff, he'll recall his promises. When he ran from God, and excuse me, his family, and went out into the wilderness there, headed back to Haran, when he was out there, the Bible said he didn't even leave with a tent or a blanket or a pillow or anything. He didn't lay down in the dirt, took some rocks and put them together, lay his head on a rock out there in the dirt. And God appeared to him that night with a ladder of angels ascending and descending to heaven. And Jacob awoke that night and he said, this is the house of God, Bethel, the place where I met God. First time he met God there. And you know what Jacob did? Jacob made some promises to God. It's in Genesis chapter 28. He said, Lord, if you'll bring me back to my people, and you help me in my life and prosper me in my way. He wasn't asking for wealth. He was just asking for something a little better than a rock pillow. He said, then I'll serve you and I'll give you a tenth of everything that I own. You know, he learned tithing from his grandfather, Abraham. He knew that if God had given him something, he ought to give something back to God. That tithing thing still works, you know. Yes, it does. And Jacob made promises to God. When he's coming back to meet Esau, he's scared again. 20 years, is his brother still mad at him? Is it going to cost him his life when he comes home? And he's asking God to help him through this situation, and God does. See, when he leans on the top of that staff, he remembers, you know, over the years, I've made a lot of promises to God. Hey, how about you this morning? You ever make a promise to God? You ever tell God you're going to do something? I do a fair amount of weddings and a fair amount of funerals. It's always interesting how that at funeral time people start making promises to God. Oh my. That loved one that went to heaven, it broke their heart and they were so touched by that, they start making promises to God. I'll do this and I'm going to do that. I was going through the funeral file in my office the other day, getting some information for our memorial thing. And as I looked at it, I saw notes that people had written and it said, boy, after this loved one passed, I'm going to live for God and I'm going to get my life in order. As I read several of those notes, I thought to myself, how many of those people still are not living for God? They made promises. You know, the Bible says you make a vow to God, he promised you. It's a promise that you have to keep or it becomes sin in your life. Now, that could be pretty serious, wouldn't you think? So what promises have you made to God? He worshiped thinking about the fact that he'd made some promises. By the way, Jacob was a con man, but Jacob did keep his promises. What he told God he would do, he actually did do that, you know. God saw that in him and saw that he was a man willing to keep some promises. But at 147 years old, he worships by leaning on the top of his staff because he was willing to take a look at his present day life and how it was. Not bad for a guy who used to sleep on rocks to come back with a whole host of family. He has 12 sons. I don't know if that's a blessing or not. He has 12 sons. They have kids. His life was from a boy who slept on rocks to a father of a nation. That's not a bad progression, would you say? You know what I think? I would think at 147 years of age, Jacob's going to stand and look around, and he got to see Joseph. Remember, Joseph was sold by the jealousy of his brothers into Egypt's bondage, not knowing that behind the scenes God was working to put Joseph in Egypt where they would be provided for and taken care of. He didn't see all that, but he never thought he'd see his son Joseph again because those brothers killed an animal, put it on that coat of many colors Joseph owned, brought it home and said, an animal killed Joseph. And no doubt Jacob had the funeral and he was heartbroken of his favorite son was gone. And now he's there at 147 years of age, the Bible says, and he blessed Joseph's sons. He not only got to see his son again, he got to see grandsons he never knew he had. And Jacob's just kind of looking around at where he was in his life at that time and thinking, you know, God has been really good to me. I asked Anna to sing that song. I asked Brother Matt to have Anna prepare that song. He's been faithful to me. Could we say it's always been a two-way street? Always faithful to God. Even when we're not faithful, he's faithful sometimes. It's amazing, isn't it? Doesn't that make you want to worship? Just look up to God in heaven and say, it's amazing where we were to where we are. What God has done, where God has brought us from, what God has done in our lives. Sometimes I like to think about what God didn't do. Yeah, that's right, I didn't get all the money. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Well, I didn't get that car. No, I'm not talking about that either. No, I'm talking about the fact that God didn't deal with me every time I was a knucklehead. You are too, don't you look at me like that. Every time I was disobedient, God did not always deal with me immediately. Sometimes He did, thankfully. I said thankfully. There was times when I received mercy and I didn't deserve that. There was times God should have cut me off and He didn't. There were times He blessed me in my life, and frankly, I wasn't worthy of the blessing, even when I was obedient, still not worthy. Start looking at the present, Jacob says, God has really been amazing in my life. Now look at me. You can't face the future without realizing what God has been to you in the past and where you are right now in the present. How do you look at your life right now, by the way? How do you sum it all up? If I asked you this morning, took a microphone, walked up and down these chairs today, held it up to you and said, tell me about your life. How is your life today? How would you speak about it this morning? Well, you're in church, so you'd probably come up with a little Baptist lying and talk about how great life is and how good it is. But if I could put that microphone to your heart and say, now, tell us what they really think. Would it be doubt or would it be faith? Would you really see the blessings of God? Would you be amazed at how good He has been to you? From a con man to a prince, from sleeping on rocks to a father of a nation, a still greatly blessed and beloved nation of God today. That's not bad for a con man. And he worshiped, the Bible said, leaning on the top of his staff. And he worshiped because he also was able to look ahead and realize his prospects. So the prospects of our future, our optimism in life, where does it come from? The last speech you heard a politician make? Heard a fellow say the other day, he said, I was always taught as a kid growing up that anybody could become president of the United States. He said, I believe it now. You know the truth of the matter is, do you get encouraged by the prospects of life? How encouraged are you? Hey, it's the end of the month. How's the money holding up? Got too much month at the end of your money again? How are your prospects this morning? Say, Jacob's dying. What are his prospects? Well, let me ask you a question. What is the prospect of a person of faith when they get ready to face death? What are their prospects? Do you realize this morning, dear people, look at me. Do you realize that the prospect of a child of God is that we have His blessings, His help, His grace, His mercies, His hand upon our life, His will, His word, His way, His goodness in our lives while we walk this earth, and then when we leave it, we go to heaven, and it just gets better. Thank both you Methodists. I'm sorry, but the prospects are good. Dr. Martinez called me one day and he asked me to go see one of our ladies. He said, Pastor, I just talked to her at the hospital and he said, the medical report is not good. I had to tell her that she had a very short time to live. She seems a bit upset, Pastor. Could you just go talk with her? One of our ladies. And so I went up to talk with her. And she was upset. You say, well, that shows a lack of faith. We'll come see you when you get that news. No, it wasn't. She was just concerned a bit. And I sit down with her and I talk to her. And I said, well, the doctor told me he talked to you. And the news is, she goes, I've just got a short time to live, Pastor. I said, okay. I said, can I talk to you about the prospects that you have? She said, okay. I said, here it is. Let's say it wasn't the doctor who came and talked to you. Let's say it was a travel agent who walked in here and sat down and said, someone has just paid for you an all-expense-paid first-class vacation to Hawaii. And you're going to be there for a really long time, and everything is paid for. 5-star accommodations, hot and cold, running pineapple. We're talking everything now. Hawaiian shirt, muumuu, whatever you want, you got it. No cost to go, no cost to stay, and you can stay as long as you want. And it's all paid for you. I said, what would you think about that? She said, oh, I think that would be wonderful. I said, well, your doctor's a travel agent. He just told you you're about to leave heaven, leave this earth, excuse me, and you're going to heaven, a place where there's no more suffering or sorrow, a beautiful place, and It's all paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And you will get to be there forever and never know another moment of sorrow, sadness in your life. I said, I think if we understand it right, I got so encouraged by telling her that I wanted to go to heaven. I wouldn't mind going on the next busload, quite frankly. You see what our prospects are, Christian? No, I'm sorry. You get so earthly minded, you get all caught up in this life. You'll think your life is going to be just messed up. This man's 147 years old. He's been limping for 100 years. He's leaning on a well-carved staff that has helped to support him and help him. And he starts thinking about his prospects. He blesses his grandsons and then says, now, I'm going to heaven. So how good are your prospects this morning? Do you have the prospect of heaven for sure? You need to have that now. It's not something you need to add to your portfolio. That's something you need to know and know for certain. And you'll never know until you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But once you do, then your prospects are good. You say, well, I'm too young to be thinking about heaven. I mean, I've got all the time in the world. Really? Really? This life is but a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Just like that, there could be a moment today and you leave this place. You'll step out into eternity. No, the prospects are not fearful for us. I was in Iowa preaching last week. Last Sunday night, I was in a motel in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, when all these tornadoes were going through that part of the country. And one went right over the hotel I was in. I mean, it was tearing that place up. And I heard this noise outside the window. It sounded like garbage trucks, those big commercial garbage trucks picking up the big trash cans, you know, bang around and make all kinds of noise. 11 o'clock at night. Man, these Iowans are crazy. They dump trash in the middle of the night like that. And then it went on for like a half an hour, and I thought, they're really slow at dumping trash at 11 o'clock at night. And I opened the curtain on the window, and the window real low to the ground like this, and I looked outside, and the trees were laying over, and stuff was flying by, and I thought, ooh. So I flipped on the TV to catch the Weather Channel, and the TV went out. Flipped on the internet to try and check my internet, and the internet went out. I could have sworn I saw Hillary go by on a broom. I mean, it was bad. I'm sorry. House landed on Michelle. But here's what happened. I thought, uh-oh. So I called the pastor and he said, oh yeah, there's tornadoes touching down all around the earth. I said, they will come and get me and let me know if I need to make peace with God, right? I mean, he goes, yeah, you should be okay. Everything should be all right. You know, Midwesterners, no big deal. Tornadoes are like, y'all go and sit in the cellar and eat peaches. It's no big deal. Whereas California, we have earthquakes. You go to bed, you wake up in Cottonwood. I mean, the thing just slides down the street. We don't get any warning on that stuff. So I laid down that night, and I wasn't scared. I just thought to myself, you know, something could come flying through this window and kill me. And I'm going to heaven from Cedar Rapids, Iowa, which would be better than Walmart. But I'm sitting there, and I'm laying there thinking about it, and I thought, huh, okay. I had to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, get on a plane to fly home. I thought, need some sleep, Lord. When your prospects are what they should be, then you lean on the staff and you worship God. And Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed the sons of Joseph, the Bible said, and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.